Welcome back to part two of our interview with Vivica Menegatz, the Nourished Caveman. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I am joined by the Nourished Caveman. It's actually a woman, and her name is Vivica, I hope I pronounced this right, Menegatz, and she is, you're going to love her accent. That's just a complete an aside there. She has a wonderful accent. She's actually from Italy. But today on the show, we talk about the keto-paleo approach to eating. And ladies in particular that are listening to this, if you've never really kind of taken a deep dive into what paleo is about, or keto, or ketosis, or paleo-keto, but if you've experienced anything like hormonal imbalance, chronic inflammation, you're tired, excessively tired all the time, you've had weight gain issues or inability to lose weight, joint issues, just overall inflammation, and particularly for those of you that are maybe even in your later 30s, in your 40s and beyond, and you've probably been told, oh, that's just getting older. This is definitely going to be, a series that you're going to want to tune into. We did a Twitter chat with Vivica a while back, and so she answered so many questions and enlightened so many women. And I can also personally testify, y'all have been following me for a while, this approach to eating has definitely made a huge impact on my health. It's something I consider my lifestyle. Definitely something I can live with. I don't feel like I'm walking around carrying Tupperware with plain chicken breast and broccoli. So I'm very excited for you to listen to the first of two interviews with Vivica. I feel as though we barely scratched the surface, but use these first two interviews as a baseline, a foundation. And we have confirmed that Vivica is going to be coming back on the show for a more deep dive into keto, ketosis, and the benefits for our health, but also particularly for weight loss. So I know you're going to enjoy this interview. I know you're probably going to have questions as well. Make sure you let us know any of your questions on fitfluentialradio.com. But for now, tune in and enjoy this interview with the Nourished Caveman, Vivica Menegatz. We are back with part two of my interview with Vivica. I'm gonna screw up. I wrote out how to pronounce your last name. How do I say your last name again? Say it.
Menegatz.
See, Menegatz. That just sounds,
I think you said it just perfectly. You're fine.
I said it perfectly the first time, but do you know when you just said it, what it made me think of is how this one friend of mine, she was getting married to a very Italian gentleman, and her grandmother was there for the rehearsal dinner, and she was teaching me how to say manicotti the right way, and she's like, she's like, it's manicot, and I kept trying to say it. I know I'm not saying it right. How do you say manicotti in, though we shouldn't be talking about carbs, how do you say it in Italian?
Manicotti.
See, it just sounds so much better when you say it. And that is going to be, I'm going to just give a preview. One of the last questions I'm going to ask you is, you're Italian. We're talking about keto and paleo as a lifestyle. So I'm going to wrap up the show and just prepare you, because I'm going to ask, what do you do when you go home? Do you ever have lasagna? Do you ever, you know what? Just go ahead. And I'm going to have you answer that right now. Do you ever, when you go to Italy, do you have pasta? Do you indulge in, and it might, I'm sure, like with me, I learned certain things I indulge on gives me a stomach ache, but do you go a little nutty when you go home to Italy, or do you never, ever stray from the keto paleo lifestyle?
You know, I haven't been home this past year. The last time I was in Italy was, what was it, February 2016, I think. Was it? Or it was October 2015, something like that, a long time ago. I was supposed to go this August, but I don't think I'm going to make it because my practice is too busy. But not really. The real answer is not really, but there are two things. So first, in Italy, you can find plenty of amazing food that is not pasta. And so there is great meats and there is great fish and there is vegetables and, you know, a lot of charcuterie, like a lot of different things that I love that are not bad and they're within keto paleo, seafood and, you know, you name it. So if I want to be extremely strict in Italy, I can be. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, if I want to cheat, then I also have plenty of options of, you know, different degrees. And this is something that I tell my patients all the time. Pick your battles, you know. So if you need to cheat, you can cheat, like, what are the least offenders, like the least dangerous offenders? Like, I can cheat with fruit. I can cheat with gelato. You know, one of my favorite things that I cheat with is burrata, which is fresh mozzarella.
Oh, yum. Yes.
I know. And I, you know, that's like my bane, the bane of my existence. I could live on that stuff and it's amazing. But because I don't do dairy, because dairy really messes up my hormones badly. So that for me is an occasional treat. If I do it once a year, I can have it a few times in Italy and I'll be fine. Also, the dairy in Italy is not quite the same as the dairy here. Mm. Most foods in Italy are a lot less damaged, a lot less processed. The soils are still a little bit better preserved than what it is in America. You know, they don't have... Now they do, but they didn't have Monsanto in Italy for a much longer time than here. So less GMO, less chemical fertilizers, you know, less antibiotics on the feed and on the animals. There is a lot of different reasons why the quality of the food in Italy is better. So if you cheat in Italy, it's not going to be as bad as cheating in America. Mm-hmm. And as far as the pasta and the pizza and the manicotti and lasagna, I don't do gluten. And, you know, at this point, after healing, you know, my gut, my leaky gut, and just my body in general for many years, my tolerance of gluten is about a couple of bites, 3 or 4 bites. Mm-hmm. If I have more than that, I feel it immediately. And it just sets me back, and it sets me back a lot. So I tell my patients, if you're going to cheat, cheat in different ways, you know. So eat more food. Stay within your foods, but just don't look at the calories. Just have a giant plate, and that will keep you satisfied. But don't eat the pasta, you know. And, you know, if you really want, dairy is not that great, but usually there are more problems involved with gluten than with the dairy proteins. So if you need to cheat with dairy, you know, or even with sweets, you can cheat with sugar. And sugar, yes, will spike your blood sugar, will kick you out of ketosis, but at least it doesn't have that high inflammatory domino effect like gluten or dairy.
So yeah, in order go ahead.
I was just saying, in order of bad, I think gluten is the first, then dairy, and then sugar. So if you have to cheat, you know, you kind of know where you want to start.
You made some, I mean, you have a very sensible approach. And one of the things that I have had to learn is, and this is my opinion, I don't assert at all that my way is the highway and that everybody else is wrong. And I just don't want any of those kind of people on my show, because I know how detrimental it can be when you, like I'm your typical fitness consumer right now. I'm not a trainer. Mm-hmm. I'm not a certified nutritionist. So I look to the experts. I look to the people that I follow for advice. And I've followed some really bad advice by people that weren't in a position to be doling out that kind of advice. What I have learned and what we encourage people to do, again, you know, Fitfluential, our tagline is fitness found. And we really want to encourage people, find your fit, find your fitness, find what works for you. And when it comes to, I'm using air quotes, you know, indulgent meals or cheat meals,
What I've learned works for me is similar to your approach. I'm probably maybe a little bit more loose. I, just like you, I have a major issue with dairy. So I've learned if I have, and this happened in Tampa 2 weeks ago, I had a wonderful dessert. In fact, right now, I'm fantasizing about it because it was this apple, baked apple dessert. It was like a baked apple pie. And I got it knowing it came with a scoop of ice cream on top. It was served warm. I may or may not have licked the plate. I embarrassed the people around me probably, but it was so good. And I've been so strict on my program that's working for me. But I know the second I started having that ice cream at the end, I was so bloated and so uncomfortable from the ice cream and the dairy that I kid you not, everybody that's listening, I actually have a diary or a journal. And when something like that really upsets my stomach, I'm sure, Vivica, you'd probably in some way recommend this. I record it. I remind myself, guess what, Kelly? When you have the dairy, it's a trip to hell. And for me, like you said, with sugar, I can tend to have a sugar treat. You know, I can have like a bran muffin that I fantasize about that's, you know, gluten-free, or I can have a cupcake. That doesn't tend to bother my stomach. I do get headaches. But ultimately, what I've learned is I can have cheats. I used to obsess about not cheating. And the reason that I want to spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about this and doing a, not a rant, but a rave, if you will, is I personally believe what I found in my life is when I tried so hard to be perfect and never cheat, and I feared food, I got to the point where I feared, oh my God, what if I have this? What if I have caffeine after my 2 o'clock rule? I'd freak out. I had so much stress going on that personally, again, this is my opinion, I think I was making my adrenal and my cortisol issues spike so much from worrying, where now that I'm a little bit more relaxed about it, number one, I find that I want to, air quotes, cheat less. I'm able to be more in control about what I'm going to indulge in. I don't pig out. I don't binge. I don't do anything like that. I figure out what works for me. And when I do eat something that's off my, you know, keto plan or my keto paleo approach, and it gives me a really bad stomach ache, put it in the journal and I don't go back there again. So everybody, again, that's listening, you're going to find out in the area of a cheat meal, or for you, maybe it's a cheat day. Maybe it's that you give yourself one treat a day and that works, but you'll find out what works for you. Please, I encourage you to not tune into anybody that's telling you there's only one way to eat. Pretty much every person we've had on the show always says they choose how and when to indulge. They're very careful and strategic about it, but they definitely indulge. So don't think that you can't go through life not indulging, even when you know, go down a pretty dedicated approach to eating, which is paleo and keto. Now, for most people, let's dive right in, because that's what the second half of this interview is about, Vivica, is educating people a little bit more on the keto and ketosis side of things. Now, I would ask you this. There are some folks that are going to be listening that have heard about paleo, and they think, you know, there's a lot of things they can hear and they'll probably go, oh, that's just for CrossFitters. We get people that will write into us going, I've heard paleo, that's cool, but I don't do CrossFit. So they think they can't do paleo unless they do CrossFit. So dispel a few myths about paleo. And also, there's a lot of elitists in the paleo world. There's people that swear if you eat paleo, it means none of this, none of this, none of this. You can never drink. You can never do this. I choose to say that a paleo approach to eating is what's best. And there's a definite degree of variables in there. How would you, if you were in the grocery store line at Whole Foods and somebody said, what's paleo? How would you describe in a really simple way to somebody who's beginning, what is the paleo lifestyle? What does that entail?
Well, I can tell you what paleo means for me. And for me, like, you know, paleo is supposed to be, by definition, eating like our Paleolithic ancestors. Well, good luck with that. That's never going to happen. I don't care if you're Rob Wolf or, you know, the other people, the, you know, what's Mark Sisson, like the big paleo gurus, you're still not going to eat like our Paleolithic ancestors, because we live thousands of years after, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, like we are in a completely different environment. The foods are completely different. So that is never going to happen. So what does paleo mean for me is like choosing not to eat processed foods and choosing not to eat grains, choosing not to eat dairy. And there also, there are, you know, it's a very kind of generic umbrella that, but it's the general rule, the general trend for me is trying to eat more whole natural foods, avoid cow dairy, especially with, a, you know, a little bit of an exception. Like sometimes I use sheep dairy or goat dairy, and some people, you know, my patients are very tolerant to that kind of dairy, and it's okay for them in moderation, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, like the, all this discussion, is this paleo, is this not paleo? I don't go into those crazy, like convoluted nitpicking ideas. Like, keep it simple. Like, don't just, you know, go like lost in the details, because that's not going to help you. And in ultimately, for me, like what is important is their nutrient-dense foods. So there are foods, you know, my program is called the Healing Foods Method for a reason, because food can heal. And in order for food to do that, food can either make you sick or make you healthy. So in order for food to make you healthy, it has to be healing food. It has to bring nutrients and avoid toxins. And that's kind of really the whole guideline. Nutrients versus toxins, and also like how it affects your body. So in general, like, I don't think that humans are have evolved with grains long enough to really be able to take grains in a successful way. There are a lot of problems, but then again, like, you know, you can have people like, you can have a vegan on the show tomorrow, like just telling you all these reasons why you should be vegan. And then the next day you have a paleo person, then the next day you have a keto person that tell you they eat cheese and bacon only and they're so happy. I like a balanced approach. Like, if you really think about human physiology and like having a kind of knowledge of human evolutionary physiology, and look at like how our body has evolved and what we've been eating during our evolutions, looking at traditional diets, which I think is very, very valuable, and studying different populations that have eaten those diets for thousands of years and how they had evolved, you know, like Dr. Weston Price, I think his work was invaluable for nutrition. He's one of the pillars, founding fathers of modern nutrition. So how, what kind of diets did humans do well on? That's kind of the base, you know. Mm-hmm. And then where are we now in our world? What issues are we facing? What world environment are we in? And how does that affect the things that we eat? So, you know, maybe people in the 1800s, 1700s in Switzerland had a dairy-heavy diet. But yes, they were in Switzerland with pastured cows that were eating only fresh, super high-nutrient grass. And, you know, they didn't process the dairy. It was not pasteurized. It was a completely different environment. And those people were living at high altitudes, working hard all day. Do we have that lifestyle? No. What kind of environment? Most of us live in cities, apartments, you know, drive their cars to work, sit in an office all day. There, we are bombarded by toxins all day long. And so the food that we get, where did it come from? Most of the dairy comes from factory farms where the animals are, you know, fed certain things, pumped with antibiotics. They eat corn and soy all day. See, like, really, it's about being kind of discriminating and looking at things with a more, you know, like a discriminating look and informed look.
That's a good word.
So, educating yourself, you know, that's my, I don't generalize anything. I don't say I like keto because it helped me, so anything keto goes. No, because, you know, there are people that do keto out there with McDonald's, and I do not endorse processed foods. I will never do so. I mean, you know, there are people that take a lot of supplements, like, that are, you know, chemical supplements or highly refined foods, or, you know, I get approached by all these companies that try to, you know, have me endorse their products, and they're all manufactured. I don't endorse a lot of manufactured products because I want my patients to eat food without a label that doesn't come in a box, you know, food that comes from a farmer that grew that food and knows exactly what's in it and what their animals ate.
So that makes such perfect sense. And I wrote down that word because I took a lot of notes, obviously, as we've been chatting. And we'll put the, you know, so many links to this stuff in the show notes. But discriminating is really a good word. And you gave a very good, and I love it, frankly, explanation of paleo, and pointed out that that is something I don't like. You know, I referenced, I don't want any elitists. I don't want to endorse people that come across to me and to our audience as an elitist, meaning, and my definition of an elitist is, I know everything, my way or the highway. And if you don't follow my way, my approach, my diet to the T, and buy my supplements and my book, you're an idiot, and everybody else is an idiot. So, you know, different strokes for different folks. We certainly want to encourage everybody to find out what works for you. But back to paleo, and I need to make the most of our first interview, Vivica. So I'm going to ask you some very specific questions. And then I think what would be nice, and I'll follow up with you afterwards, is we might want to do like one more, if you'd have time in your schedule.
I would love that. I feel like we're barely scratching the surface here.
I do. I think that, but I think we've been good because we're drawing people in and helping them understand the baseline foundation of, you know, why this is important, especially for women, you know, in their 40s and plus. And this could be earlier. You know, some of my friends that have hormonal imbalance are experiencing it 31, 32. So it isn't just for folks and ladies in their 40s and plus, but particularly because those are the women's that are being, excuse me, those are the women that are being handed a line of BS, I'm going to call it BS, by their OBGYN, by their doctor. Oh, it's just getting older.
Endocrinologists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That too. I hear that all the time. It's not. And I can tell you that when I took things into my own hands, got with the right doctor after, you know, some tweaking and testing, started ignoring the idiots that were giving me the horribly wrong advice, I've found what works for me, and I'm tweaking it all the time because I have a great trainer. I have Amanda, who's a business partner and a coach and a friend, and she's, again, she lives this lifestyle. She lives keto, paleo, intermittent fasting. It just really works for us. I'm surrounded by folks that are certified, credentialed experts. You're obviously one of them. So we talked a little bit as the last part of the show, and obviously a trailer for what we'll talk with Vivica. We'll have her back to do some deep dives on ketosis and keto specifically. So just know that this is a teaser for that, but we'll get you started. One of the things, I want to ask you two questions as we wrap up the show. With paleo, this has been my personal experience because we talked at the beginning of this interview in part one about how a keto paleo approach can help women lose weight. It helped you lose weight. It certainly has helped me. However, I believe there is a lot of information out there in the fitness, health, and wellness space that can almost claim that, I don't want to point to any one person, it can claim like, oh, you just eat paleo and you can eat whatever you want, eat as much as you want, eat a ton of guacamole, eat all these burgers all day, eat this, this, and this. And that's a mindset. That's a mindset in our country. Our country is encouraging people, do this diet because you can eat all the blank, fill in the blank. You can eat all the bran muffins if you do this. You can do this. We shouldn't be trying to find a diet that encourages us to gorge. But what my experience was when I started paleo, again, I had some really bad advice of somebody that was just telling me to eat, you know, not only bulletproof coffee, like it was going out of style with eggs in it, but then eggs and bacon for breakfast, and then beef all day with guacamole, excessive amounts of healthy fats. I probably was eating, in my take, twice, if not triple, the amount of calories that now works for me. And I still incorporate, again, I have a paleo keto approach. Do you see this as a prevalent situation that a lot of people think, oh, just go paleo and I don't have to watch how much I eat. Do you see that as common? And do you also feel, as I do, that it still matters how much you eat?
Oh, absolutely. And I actually see that even more in the ketogenic world, that really? So many people in the keto world, they're like, oh, you just need to be in ketosis and then you don't have to count calories. Just eat a lot of fat. And we're talking like my average patient is about 50 to 80 pounds overweight to like up to like 150 pounds overweight. And then like, you know, maybe like the first step, something improves when they switch their diets because they come from a very, very poor eating habits. So something can improve, but very shortly. But there is, you know, unfortunately, it's like calories, you know, they say that the calories is not how many calories that matters, but what calories you eat. And they're talking micronutrients, macronutrients. But in the end of the day, calories do matter. And it's the combined everything. It's not just like the macronutrients of how many carbs, how much fat, how much protein you eat. It's not just what, like, how many calories you eat that's important. And it's not just what you eat. All of it combined is important.
So that's a great summary.
What kind of foods you eat, in what ratios, and how many calories. They're like, it's like a three-legged stool, and you kind of need all three legs for this, you to be able to sit on it. If a three-legged stool is missing a leg, you're not going to be able to sit. So those are three very important pillars for your right eating habits. So the free-for-all, you might have Amen. Your free day. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I sometimes call them carb ups. And I'm like, hey, you want to, you know, and when you put it in the right context, it's perfectly healthy. And I tell people, like, you are strict. You can be really strict all week and then, or have a day where you fast. And then you have a day where you just eat as much as you want and you eat more carbs. And that is going to be official. But, you know, it makes you feel better, but at the same time, it makes sense. You're not just
Yeah, you've just illustrated too as well what I have found works for me. I am walking proof. I mean, I can tell you right now that I look in the mirror every day. I can't believe how my body is transforming. It took me a while to get here. And it took me, again, when I finally listened to my gut, broke away from the wrong people who weren't credentialed but like to act like they were, and got with the right people who are credentialed, who you know, my great doctor, Dr. Lane Sebring, he's going to be on the show, and my trainer. And again, only listening, because sometimes you can muddy the waters if you have too many people giving you input. But I got to tell you, for me, I remember that my doctor said that to me. He's like, and he's known, I'm using air quotes, as the paleo doctor, right? So he's been an advocate of the paleo approach to eating for 20 plus years. And he's a strong advocate for it. But he's like, here's the deal. I love the idea of you not having the bulletproof coffee with two egg yolks and all this butter and all this oil and whatever. He's like, that's probably, if you're having two of those in the past in the morning and, you know, one of those later in the day, because I loved it. He's like, that's probably what ended up being my caloric ceiling for the window. And that was just my starter. So you do have to find out what works for you. And again, it's not a license. I really encourage people, when you test this stuff out, for me, I just was sharing this on Instagram the other day. It's so empowering, especially women. We can tend to be emotional eaters. It's very empowering when you feel, I'm in control of food. I'm going to figure, you know, like you said, maybe I'm going to really be strict Monday through Friday. And for me, it lets me go out to eat on Saturday night with my husband, and Sunday I go out to brunch, and I can eat what I want those days. And that works for me. You figure it out. You figure out, because if that's what lets you be really strict during the week and look forward to it. And like you said, incorporating fasting works really great. So again, finding what works for you, but maintaining balance. And it's not about go down this diet plan or this diet approach, and you can have the license to gorge. That's not good for anybody. I don't care what your approach is. So lastly, and I hate to say lastly, because this is where we're going to almost give people the trailer for when we have you back, Vivica. So we've talked about health and hormonal issues, how diet makes such a big impact on that. We've talked about paleo, but obviously you are a great expert and highly respected in the field on keto. And I hate to say this, but I am going to ask it. We're wrapping up the show here. Mm-hmm. How would you describe, and then again, for folks listening, we'll have Vivica's part, it might be part 3-4. I don't know, Vivica. We'll have to figure out if I can convince you to come back and record for 40, 45 minutes in a couple weeks. We'll do a deep dive and all we'll talk about, we'll pick up on keto. But for those that are listening that are like, oh, I can't wait till the next episode. You know, what is when you start incorporating ketosis? People have heard about this in years past. They've heard about ketogenic or getting ketogenic or whatever, ketosis with things like Atkins. But how would you summarize why it's an advantage for weight loss and health to incorporate ketosis, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, mm-hmm. as an approach into your way of eating?
Ketosis has some major benefits. For me, especially within the context of us women and trying to do it for health and weight loss, number one is eliminates cravings, eliminates hunger. So there is one thing on doing a diet, and you're forcing yourself to eat in a certain way, and your body's screaming, kicking, and complaining the whole way, and you have to go kind of on willpower alone, and you're hungry, you're grumpy, you're tired all the time. So there is like something to be said to that. But when you finally are not hungry, you're satisfied, and you have no cravings, it's so much easier to be compliant. So that is number one. It just makes your life so much easier. And number two is that it lowers inflammation and it normalizes blood sugars, and it kind of heals it. Not it kind of, it really heals your metabolism. So a lot of people come with a lot of yo-yo diets. I've tried this, I tried that, I tried that. They've tried them all. And mostly, sadly, they were low-fat, low-calorie diets. So the wrong thing, and high-carb, high-sugar, high-carb. So, of course, it was the wrong thing for their metabolism, and their metabolism got really messed up at all this up and down. So ketosis helps, and it helps fix those problems. And if it was just that alone, I think it's pretty invaluable of a tool. Imagine not having to freak out when you're not eating for 3 hours because your blood sugar is dropping and suddenly you're dizzy, lightheaded, hangry, and, you know, all these other problems. But imagine you being able to be in control, like we say, of what you eat and when you eat, because you don't have that physiological need. That is invaluable.
So true. It really is. And I hope that that was a good teaser for everybody else. But as well, you know, we will, as we wrap up, this is part two of our, I'll call it our two-part episode, but I have a feeling we're going to end up having four parts because I'll make sure I get Vivica to come back. But a couple of things as we wrap up today's episode, and thank you, Vivica, for going over. I think you have an appointment, so we've got to make sure I let you go here. I will send everybody in the show notes to your website, which is I'm looking at it right now, thenourishedcaveman.com. So we will link up to that. And that looks like it's got, you know, links to your Facebook, your Google Plus, your LinkedIn, Pinterest, YouTube, and so on. There are a ton of freebies. I'm going to tell everybody, if you want to start doing some exploring into the keto approach to eating, like I said, we will have Vivica back on and we'll do a specific episode, a deep dive into what is ketosis and specifically how do I start eating to bring a ketosis state, if you will, into my life. Clearly, you've heard the benefits and it's definitely worth exploring. I am a living testimonial that this lifestyle, again, with some intermittent fasting, is something that is transforming me. And everything you said there at the end, Vivica, it's so true. I sleep better. I have better energy. I don't have the cravings. I also don't have the bloating and the stomach aches that used to plague me when I ate, you know, a lot crappier, if you will. Yeah. So it's only something that I can't recommend enough that you look into. And I will say, this is the God's honest truth. TheNourishedCaveman.com, that's one of the best sites out there, period. It has the most amazing recipes, the most amazing resources. You guys have to check it out. I did reference lastly, earlier in the show, getting blood work done. We do have a partner. So this is a partner of Fitfluential. If you go to altalabtests.com/fitfluential, Vivica, I'll hook you up as well. This is
Thank
something
you.
That if
yeah,
you're interested, they can, yeah, they can set up a site so you can refer your clients to them as well. But they have all kinds of blood work packages, and consumers don't need a doctor's order. You can go get your blood work done. There's places to get blood work done all over the country. I feel strongly about it. Check it out. And for everybody tuning in, I hope you enjoyed this show, this intro and starter guide into keto and paleo. We'll have Vivica back on the show and we'll do a deeper dive on keto. Let us know if you have any questions at fitfluentialradio.com, and you'll see the show notes there as well. We will see you all next time. And thanks again, Vivica.
Thank you, Kelly.
Hope you enjoyed this second part of my interview with Vivica, and please stay tuned to Fitfluential Radio, and you'll want to hear when we do our next episode with Vivica. It'll be a deep dive into ketosis, and she'll answer a lot of the questions that we've already received from some of you. If you have any additional questions that you would like to have Vivica answer on the show, make sure you let us know in the comments, either on iTunes or over at Fitfluential Radio. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.